You know, as I read the scriptures, it's always curious to me. I mean, one of the things, most curious things to me is, do you ever notice Jesus, the analogies he uses? I mean, he is not exactly what you'd call, you know, putting out huge scientific degrees or you know, sort of trying to make it very flowery and lovely. He uses ordinary stuff. I mean, he uses the basics, the stuff that everybody else, you know, is experienced with, you know, in the culture that they're in. He's always talking about things that are real, that are right there in front of him, things that people of his time saw every day. I love that sense of ordinary, because it's in those ordinary words about ordinary things that I really believe Jesus makes them extraordinary. If you look at the gospel for today, it says that Jesus is out there and there's so many people following him that he, you know, has to get into a boat and go out while the people are on the seashore and basically they listen to him as he's teaching from a boat. He begins his teaching. Listen, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow. You know, who do you think that sower is? I mean, in this story, who's Jesus talking about when he says a sower went out to sow? You know, I started thinking, well, I wonder if it's the disciples, because he does send them out, and they're called to go out and proclaim the kingdom, but it just doesn't fit in this one. And then all of a sudden I realize, I think Jesus is saying that the sower is God the Father. It's God the Father that sows in his own way. And this story isn't just about walking the earth. This story is about just how God deals with his people, all of us, you and me, all at the same time. It says very clearly that the sower goes out to sow. That's his job. He's a sower. And as he goes along to sow, some seed falls on the path, and the birds eat it up. Then some seeds fall on rocky ground. What happens there? You know, the ground is, you know, not able to withhold it, and it grows, but it withers real fast when the sun comes out. Then the sower puts seeds, it falls into thorns, and thorns choke it out. But then finally what happens? The seed hits where it's going to really do well. The seed hits where it's supposed to, on good soil. Good soil! And it yields 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. It's going to be incredible harvest. It's huge. It's huge, I say. You know, I it's funny because, you know, if I was the owner of this farm and that sower worked for me, I'd fire his tail. Let me just tell you right now. I mean, think about it. How careless he must have been. How irresponsible he must have been that he is a sower to go out and see. But when he goes out, seed falls on a path. It's no good there. Seed falls in rocky ground. It's no good there. Seed falls in the midst of thorns. It's no good there. He finally hits his target. But out of all the seed that he goes, 3/4 of the seed that falls doesn't go into anything that's going to yield any kind of longevity, right? Doesn't do anything. So what is this story about? Part of what this story, I think, is about is the fact that God, who is the sower, is generous. It's about the character of the sower, the generosity of the sower. You know, how many times in your life have you ever heard of, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And then, you know, I mean, if you go to the flip side of that, why do good things happen to bad people? Why is it that things happen this way? It's because the truth of the matter is, the sower, who is God, is generous to all. You know, if you get down into the explanation, it's really kind of comical. It says, the explanation, he says, that the seed represents the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. And what that means is it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not faith. The word of the kingdom is the good news. That good news is proclaimed to everybody. There is no exception. There is nobody that's left out. It's not where, you know, when you came in to the church, I looked at it and said, well, I'm going to give it to that person, but I'm not definitely getting to over there. It's not where you're selective. You're inclusive totally. The good news goes out. But the good news sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Sometimes it gets choked out by the world. Sometimes the good news, you know, doesn't have any root to it because, to tell you the truth, the person. Sometimes the good news is preached to somebody who's so hard of heart that, to tell you the truth, you're lucky if the birds come by and pluck it up. But when the good news hits somebody that's fertile, that's ripe, that seed then grows into a huge harvest. You see, I think God's the sower. And the good news goes everywhere. And it's not irresponsible. It's just the way it works. The good news goes everywhere. I'm going to give everybody a shot. I know some people won't receive it. You know, it's funny. The other day, I was talking to a buddy of mine. His name actually is Dan Rambo. He's the owner of the candy store on Flagler. And he was talking to me, and he said that he was going actually to go get a COVID test. And so he went up. He found out a place. I guess it's Urgent Care in Port Orange. Does free testing if you can get there early enough. And he had driven up. I think he left like at 5 in the morning or something like that to get in line. And when he got up there, they finally opened up. And as he's standing there waiting to get it going, it opens up, and they say they're only going to have 20 tests or something like that. And so he does the simple math. How many people are in front of me? Comes out that, you know, he's not going to get the test because there's too many people and he's not in the right spot in line. But while he's there waiting for that COVID test, he starts talking to a kid that's in line, a young man, college age. And he starts talking, he starts finding out from the kid. And finally, the young man says to Dan, he says, you know what? I know a place where you can go and get a COVID test. It'll cost you $80, but you can get a COVID test, you get rapid results, or you can get the other kind of results. And he goes, I know right where it is. If you really want to get that COVID test, you want to get it today, he goes, you can go there. It's at another Urgent Care by Walgreens in Port Orange. And Dan goes, man, that's great. He goes, tell me how to get there. And he starts getting directions. And Dan goes, wait a second. I'll tell you what I'll do. If you show me where it is, I'll pay for your test and my test. The guy goes, that's great. He goes, because I have to have two tests. I got one free one waited, but I can't go back to work. I'm a manager at McDonald's, and I can't go back to work until I have two negative tests. And I got to get back to work because I don't have money to pay my bills, and I want to go back to school in the fall. I want to get this stuff. And he goes, but I don't have $80 to lay out for this test. He goes, Dan goes, no worries. Look, you show me where this is. I'll buy your test and my test. Well, they drive over. He shows them where it is, and they go into Urgent Care. And sure enough, it's exactly as this young man has said. They walk in, and, you know, it's really funny because Dan at this point says that the kid introduces himself as Dan's son. I don't know how they got the names together, but as Dan's son because they thought that it would work better. And Dan pays the $80 for both of them. But then they find out that they got to wait to get the test because of all the paperwork and the process. It's like an hour and a half or something. They had to wait. So Dan goes, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll take you out to breakfast. He takes him out to breakfast. And there at breakfast, he starts to get to know this young man. The young man looks at him and goes, this is the best breakfast I've ever had in my entire life. You know, it's amazing what free can do for you, you know? This is the best breakfast. But in the midst of the conversation, Dan finds out that this young man, who is a manager at McDonald's, has an AA degree. That what he wants to do this fall, and the reason why he's got to get back to work, is he's got to pay for school because he's going to FSU to study microbiology because his ultimate goal is to become a doctor. He wants to be a physician. And he's got to have this test, this $80 that's been standing in his way because he couldn't get forward with it. You know, you might say that this is a miracle that's happening in front of us. And Dan, when he's talking to me about it later, he goes, you know, we went back. He goes, I was negative. He was negative. It all turned out really great. He goes, you know what I started to think? You know, in another 10 years, I could be in the hospital and this guy could be a doctor and come up and be the one that takes care of me. But I don't know if he'd ever gotten back to FSU to get the degree he needs to get into medical school if I hadn't paid that $80 to get him a COVID test. You see, the good news is for everybody. And we're trying to be children of the kingdom, I hope, and we're supposed to spread the good news, even though in this story, I think God is a sower, but we're the ones that have got to spread the good news. And it's where you don't sit there. I mean, Dan could easily sat there in line and looked over at the guy and said, I don't like the way that kid's dressed. Yeah, I'll take his information, but I'm going to take it and go. Dan could have thought to himself, well, I'm going, but he's not going. I got the money. He doesn't have the money. But somewhere along, he felt like the seed's going to fall wherever the seed's going to fall. I got to just let it fall. I got to be generous. I got to act out of the character that God the Father has that he's given to me because I'm his child. I got to be generous. I got to care. And in that process, something mysterious happens that's even beyond the fact that they got the COVID test and he go back to work. And that is that the kingdom became larger. The kingdom was proclaimed. The kingdom that we live in, and I'm not talking about the COVID kingdom, because it's not a kingdom. It's just bad weather that seems to be affecting the kingdom of God. I guess the point I'm trying to take and make to you today is this. How generous are you in regards to spreading the good news? Do you limit it? I mean, let's put it online. And please raise your hand. Isn't it really easy to be irritable in this setting? I mean, don't little things really kind of tick you off that used to you could blow off before? Isn't it where all of a sudden I have less patience than I've ever had before? And yet the hospitals are filled. But when we realize that the kingdom is really what we live in, and that our job is simply to spread the good news of the kingdom, everything outside changes. You get a little bit more patience than you had before. You take yourself a little less seriously, and you take God a little bit more seriously. And all of a sudden, you know what'll happen? You'll be happier. You'll be more filled with joy. Because it's no longer about your inconvenience. It's about you living out your identity. You know, in the Old Testament reading, it's really kind of interesting. Here you have Jacob and Esau, right? Jacob is so, you know, much of a mama's boy, and Esau is a man's man. But Esau's gone out hunting all day, and what happens? It tells real clearly that when he goes out hunting all day, he comes in one day and he says, you know, Jacob, what are you cooking on the stove? Jacob says, I'm making a stew. And all of a sudden Esau says, give me some of that red stuff. I'll give it to you. He goes, if you sell me your birthright. Esau, what is Esau? What good's a birthright to me? Yeah, I'll give it to you. You see, when we're children of God, we don't give up our birthright. But when we walk in this earth, a lot of times we sell out our own birthright for a whole lot of other things, and we don't even know it. How many times have you given up your character for next to nothing because you didn't live into it? Because when you don't live into the character that God has given to you, then you've given up your birthright. Doesn't mean your salvation's gone, but it does mean that the ability to tap into the spirit, the joy, the laughter, the fun of the kingdom, you've just disconnected yourself from it. I pray that as you come to the Eucharist this day, that you reconnect yourself. That you come back and know God is alive and well and at work within your life. That you see things from a different perspective, not one of being impatient, but rather one that sees opportunity. Opportunity to hand off the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God, my friends. And that is the actual will of God. It's in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.